Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you found time in your schedule to spend these next few minutes with me. We've been ministering on the power that we have in the name of Jesus. Now, this might seem like Kindergarten 101. I mean, as we come to Lord, that's one of the first things we learn, to pray in the name of Jesus. But one of the things I have found that some of the deepest, most powerful principles of our Christian faith are not hard to understand, but they become so familiar with us that we lose the reverence, the sense of appreciation, the significance of the most basic and simple things, like what a powerful expression baptism is, to be baptized, to be immersed with water. There are so many things. I think the deeper we go, the more we can appreciate the depths of the wisdom, of the power of God, the majesty of God. I remember I heard a joke years ago. I'm not very good at joke telling, but it was something about, it wasn't even a joke, I don't think. There were two ministers, they went to hear someone preach at a church, and this elderly man who was knew the Lord, walked with the Lord decades, was with this younger man who was quite new as a minister, and they were commenting on the message afterwards, and the young man said that, well, he basically wasn't terribly impressed with what he had heard, and yet the older gentleman was just overwhelmed and awed by the beauty of the things that God really, showed him through what was the simplicity of the gospel. And so sometimes we tend to be desensitized to the beauties and the wonders of the gospel, if we walk with the Lord any length of time. Remember, do you remember now, maybe you were a child when you accepted Jesus, and so your recollection of that time is, and you've always walked with the Lord. Others of us may have been a grown adults or even advanced in years before we accepted Jesus. But when that occurred, there was a very distinct change in our experience. Everything looked brighter, didn't it? Even visually. I mean, it was a dramatic change. And so I guess my heart's cry before the Lord, for you, for myself, is that we would return to the joys, the ecstasy, the wonder of that first love that we had with Jesus. And so one of the very simplest things that we learned as a Christian, I know for myself, was, well, we always pray in the name of Jesus. It's not just a little phrase that we tack on our prayers as just, you know, you say amen, so be it. But even saying amen, so be it, there's an agreement with whatever was pronounced, that heart, soul, and spirit, we are agreeing with the source of the power of the words of agreement. There's power in agreement. There's great power in that. And so I'm just praying that we all return to the simplicity of the gospel. Through the new birth, we understand that we are now in Christ. We've been put into Christ, right? We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Jesus Christ is the vine. That was the illustration he gave. And we are branches on the vine. There's supernatural life and supernatural power flowing to us. It's available to every believer, no matter how long you've walked with the Lord, no matter how new you are a babe in Christ. His name, beloved, transforms our lives. His name has miracle working power within it. Jesus walked this earth as a miracle worker. His teachings were miraculous. He lived in the realm of the miraculous, not as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man. Yes, he was very God. Our little minds, human minds, can't comprehend fully what this all means. But he did what he did as the Son of Man. He didn't go out into his ministry until he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Remember when John baptized him? He saw, in fact, the Father was speaking, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit was in visible form as a dove descending upon him. And of course, there was Jesus in his physical body. This is the triune God demonstrated in one account given in Scripture. And that Holy Spirit came upon him, and he went forth in the power of the Spirit. And what did the Holy Spirit do? Well, drove him into the wilderness where he was tested of the enemy, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So he did the miraculous. When he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, he went about healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he did. And it was completed through his 3 years of earthly ministry. And when he breathed his last and said, "It is finished," what was he saying? The work that he came to do to defeat the devil was accomplished. And that power, that anointing, that authority, he did. He suffered for us that we could be redeemed and that we would, as his children, would have that same power. It didn't stop with the disciples. What's the point of that? No, believers of every age were to demonstrate the power of that name, that divine power of attorney, if you will. His birth was a miracle, was it not? I mean, she was a virgin. His death was a miracle. He was willing to suffer and die on the cruelest form of punishment the Roman Empire could conceive of at that time for punishment. Some people lasted for days. I can't imagine. It's incomprehensible the kind of death crucifixion is. But death did not hold him in the grave. His resurrection was a miracle. His ascension was a miracle. Everything about Jesus is miraculous. Oh, don't you love him? Aren't you glad for that? And he said, "I'm going to my Father," but he's just not sitting up there watching what we're doing. No, he is, of course, he's very aware of what individual member, he's God. Can you imagine that? How many people on the face of the earth, he knows what's going on in every life. He's especially concerned about his beloved children. He knows what's going on. And he's not just sitting there observing them. He is praying for us. He ever lives. This is what he's doing now to intercede for us. A time's coming when he won't have to do that. He's going to be here, and the king will reign and rule in residence, praise God, on planet Earth, praise the Lord. And we will rule and reign with him, however that means, however that works out in God's divine plan. But when some 120 men and women were gathered together in the upper room, they did that in the name of Jesus. And they were just like you and I. They were afraid. They withdrew in fear from the high priest, the rulers of that day. They, you know, only John and a few of the women had witnessed the suffering of Jesus. The rest of them fled in terror. Jesus had stood in days past, trembling with fear. He even denied 3 times, as Jesus told him, that he would deny him before the cock crew. And on that day, when they were gathered together in one accord, the glory came down and it fell all around them. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And actually, it appeared as visible tongues of fire sitting upon each head. Now, that may not manifest today. God could do whatever he wants. But the fact is, anyone that's baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, you know you've been baptized. Hallelujah. And so That same cringing, cowardly Peter was clothed with the power of the Holy Ghost. He became fearless, and he goes out and faces the Sanhedrin, the Senate, the high priesthood with divine courage and power. You know, I can almost see him now as the words he spoke is recorded in Acts, the second chapter, starting at verse 14. He stood up with the 11, lifting up his voice and said, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in those last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Praise God. Even those who do not know him, his spirit is being poured out on all flesh. That's the mercy of God, beloved. Those that don't know him, your sons, your daughters, if they don't know him, the spirit of God is being poured out upon them. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Peter goes on to say, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days, beloved, the days in which we are living, of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, what? You mean, didn't that go away? Well, I guess not. And because he's speaking of the end times, beloved, and I will show wonders in the heaven above, Nibiru, Wormwood, yeah, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapors of smoke. This is literally what's going to happen at the very end of days. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. Praise God. Hallelujah. This Jesus Christ, verse 32, God hath raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Praise God. This is the God that we serve, beloved. He is the risen Lord. He's praying for you and for me. He's praying for his church. We are his body in the earth. He's the head. We get the orders from him. But you know what? He's not changed. Through his church, he's still doing the same works, the same miracles that he did when he walked the face of the earth. We are to heal the sick. And in some cases, there have been documented reportings of those who have raised the dead. Beloved, he hasn't changed. Let us go forth in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to do those works he's called us to do. I love you and pray for you every day. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, man.